Now, a veteran linguist and former vice chancellor of the University of Ibadan, Professor Emeritus Ayo Banjo, has described the quality of spoken English in Nigeria as poor and discouraging. Now, in an interview with a correspondent from the Punch newspaper, he noted that while more people appear to be using English in the country, the mastery of the language, especially the spoken variety, has seriously declined over time. Good morning. My name is Jude Omamigbe, and welcome to Hello Port Harcourt. Our final conversation this morning is about English. Remember, I did make mention, I asked you the question, how well can you or do you speak the language? Now, my question is this. Are young Nigerians, people like you, and you, are young Nigerians keen on improving their English? Recently, for the better part of about a year or two, a young man, you probably have heard of his name before, Ebenezer Wikena, has been on a campaign to remove the test of English language from individuals who are trying to seek admission to foreign universities, particularly those in the UK and in some cases in the US and in Canada. Some schools tell you, oh, we need IELTS. Back in those days, it used to be TOEFL, Test of English as a Foreign Language. All of these tests are meant to show one's proficiency in the use of English language. But many people argue that schools operate largely with the English language here in Nigeria. So why then should anybody who wants to travel abroad need to have that test carried out? What is interesting here is that a professor is saying that Nigerians don't speak very good English. In fact, he goes on to say that the written English is slightly better than the spoken English. But Nigerians spoke better, according to Ayo Banjo, by the way, 50 years ago than they do today. His complaint is that some people don't use proper pronunciation. They don't understand structure of English. People use is when they're meant to say are. People use they when they're meant to say them. Even in Black American culture, I see it every time. Maybe you have. Sometimes when you get to hear them, you wonder, where are the adverbs? What's missing here? I'm all going to go down and I'm going to. But, you know, to help us in this conversation, Dr. Alfred Oladapo. Dr. Alfred, good morning to you and welcome to Hello Port Harcourt.
Good morning, Jude. How are you today? Thanks for having me.
Very well. Good to have you. Let's get straight to the deep end. You have had the opportunity to have lived and studied abroad as well as lived and studied here in Nigeria. The professor, Professor Emeritus Ayo Banjo, says the quality of English that is spoken today is much worse than it used to be 50 years ago. Do you concur with him, and why is it so?
Well, to some extent, reasonably so. Reasonably so, because if you listen to the quality of graduates that we are producing, first of all, their competences level is highly suspect. Suspect in the sense that how they write and how they speak. Now, is it not almost appalling sometimes that someone who is even a graduate does not understand punctuation marks, does not understand what a full stop really is when you are reading, and has no idea what an exclamation mark is? Everything is just going on a monotone. That raises a lot of problems, you know, for us as a people. I have no doubt that in certain secondary schools, at some levels, where they have good teachers or those who are in charge of some education and things like that, you have people who are professionals teaching people pronunciations and how to write properly. Unfortunately, the question is, how many schools have that? Because how many government schools have people that teach pronunciation and elocution or whatever they call it? I'm not too sure we have so many people who understand what the English language is. let me divert a little bit. That somebody went to university to read mathematics and he made a first class, it does not make that person an accountant. An accountancy, you know, yes, you play around with figures and other things. So ability to understand language of figures does not translate to proficiency in accounting. So capacity and ability to speak English does not really translate to the fact that, you know, the person understands the nuances of other things that, or the English language itself. I had an opportunity to take TOEFL, you know, years ago. And the TOEFL, like you said, you have different sections. You have the reading, you have the listening part.
Mm.
Now, I'm one of those that, you know, unfortunate under God. So I've attended, you know, a school, a secondary school that was majorly sponsored by American missionaries. But 98% of our teachers, you know, were from America. Only a few of the ground crew staff, like the driver, the maintenance guy, and a few other guys, or those that cook in the kitchen, they are those that are, you know, Nigerian. But almost every other person, you know, were Americans. Now, in my first year, just like for every other person, you know, our ears, we have to learn to tune our ears to the language, to their pronunciations. Because in primary school, you know, we didn't have American, you know, teachers, or North American teachers from North America. No, we didn't have. Now, when I was going to write my TOEFL, I found it a lot easier. In the listening exam, a lot of people didn't do well. I had to come all the way from Jos to Lagos to write my exam. But while the recording was being played, you have people in the hall saying, what are you saying? What is it? Because the truth is that when you go outside this country, they're not going to be pronouncing the way they pronounce in Nigeria. They will not. They have their own language and their own pronunciations. As big even as America is, you still have what you call intonations that are different. In Central America, a place like Chicago, they will pronounce McDonald's. That's the way you pronounce it. But when you go down south, a place like Florida, they call it McDonald's. That is within the same country. Now, that's almost like saying, you know, in Nigeria, everybody in the northern part of Nigeria, you know, they speak Hausa. Or say everybody in the western part, they speak Yoruba. But let me tell you, even among the Yorubas, you have what we call dialects. There are certain areas they will speak, and you will not understand.
Mm.
I used to have someone, you know, in my secondary school, when I wanted to learn Igbo. I mean, my university, I wanted to learn Igbo. Most of my friends were Igbo, you know, by the way. And I just couldn't pick because this one would say, no, this one they taught you, that's where they pronounce it in Usoka. But they say, when you get to this place, that's not it. I got confused at the end of the day. I'm not really too good with languages. And as I'm not really able to understand much of Igbo up to today. So if someone is talking about, you know, the language that is spoken, or the English that is spoken in North America, how many of our schools here actually prepare people, you know, for that? And this is not about being, you know, critical or condemning the education system. I just think we can do better, you know, at that level. For most of the people that this will affect are those who are likely coming out of secondary schools.
Okay.
Those who probably went to private schools, they might not very much be affected if they have no special teachers that take this with some elocution or education or whatever they call it. Yeah, go ahead, please.
No, it's interesting you made mention of the disparity that I think is very evident between those who go to public schools and those who go to private schools. There's a very high chance that those who go to private schools, private primary and private secondary schools, you know, probably have, you know, better English language teachers and maybe tutors who would, elaborate on, you know, proper elocution and pronunciation, you know, verb context and all of those things. I totally agree. But by and large, it is the same English that is being taught. And the argument is, if public and private school are being taught in English, yes, maybe people are not speaking it very well, why then Why then should somebody come and ask a Nigerian take an English test to come across if generally it's what everybody is being taught in?
The thing is this. In Nigeria, you know, English is not your first language. It's not your first language. That's the truth we have to face. Now, there's a school I used to work with. I work with quite a number of schools, you know, around the country. But there is a particular school in Port Harcourt. At one time, you know, and the students were not doing well in IGCSE exam, especially the English. And when I stepped in as consultant and began to look at it, I realized that that school, either the management was not aware or they overlooked it, that school registered their students to take the exam of English as a first language. And the students were not doing well. When they had to change it to English as a second language, even if you're a Nigerian, your first language is your mother tongue. I do agree that, yes, many of us in our homes now, we speak English to our children, you know, from morning to night and so on and so forth. It still doesn't properly translate that it is their first language. If they were probably born outside the country and so on and so forth, that's a different scenario entirely. They schooled outside the country in their formative years, that's a different thing. Only when that school now had to reverse to allow their students to start taking the exam of English as a second language, did they begin to excel? So, we might be speaking the English, but truth is that you can't really understand a language like the owner of the language. That's one part. The second part is that exam is supposed to prepare you so you don't go abroad and go and start fading unreasonably. And sincerely, at the risk of sounding like a non-patriotic person. And I don't like to take sides, what other nations are, things like that. I think it's a kind of regulatory issue that we don't want you to come here and waste your money or keep failing. Because when you cannot hear pronunciation in class, it's not going to be the fault of the professor. But remember that those schools too over there, they have a reputation. Because the number of students that fail is also an indication of the competency level of the school. How well they are able to teach and how well they are able to manage their students. So if someone cannot understand what is being said in class, how then will he do well in his assessment and in his examination? That's where the real issue is. So we either, if we want that, I know there's a campaign one time, you know, that no Nigerians, you know, like I should not be required to take that kind of thing and so on and so forth. It's a good campaign. But I would have rather thought that, you know, we'd probably come back home and ask ourselves, hey, what do we need to do to fit into global best practices?
Okay.
I used to be with a school one time. Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay, we're going to go to break shortly. Apologies for the intrusion. Now, if you're just joining us, Dr. Alfred Oladapo is my guest this morning. We are talking about how well you speak English. A professor said that the Nigerians don't speak very good English as of today, 2022. I'm asking, are you as a young Nigerian willing to improve your speaking ability? And how is this affecting the way people get jobs? Or, as it were, feel about themselves? That's our next line of conversation when we get to Dr. Alfred after the break. Dr. Alfred, we'll be back with you shortly.
Awesome. Thank you.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria. All right, welcome back. Hello, Port Harcourt. My name is Jude Omamigbe. Now, we are getting to the final bit of our conversation. I keep telling you, Mondays, 11 o'clock, the big conversations always happen here on Hello, Port Harcourt. Dr. Alfred is my guest. This morning, we're talking about proficiency in the English language, speaking well. A professor has said Nigerians today don't speak as well as they did 50 years ago. Now, that might seem as though he's indicting either the educational sector or maybe even the people themselves. And maybe there is a reason for that. But how exactly is this, in quote, lack of proper use of English affecting the young people today? Dr. Alfred is my guest, and we're going to get down to this last bit. Dr. Alfred, good morning once again, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Alfred, you have interviewed hundreds of applicants, graduates all across the country, and indeed all across Africa. How is this proficiency in the use of English language affecting young people? Like you said, it's not our first language. The way a Ghanaian speaks is very different from the way a Nigerian speaks, or that of a South African or a Zimbabwean or even a Zambian. Yet, you want to be critical of the quality of their speech. How is this important?
Well, the first thing you need to look at is, you know, people come with different tonations, either by birth or by location or where they grew up. I don't really see that as a problem. When an Indian is speaking, you know, this is an Indian speaking. The real issue is with these tests. Can you listen and understand? And can you read and properly understand what is written? You can answer questions effectively. It's not about trying to change your tonation. It's not about trying to make you, you know, speak some phoné that, you know, you are not born with and things like that. When an American is speaking, or someone from North America, you want to go to school in North America, when someone is speaking to you, do you understand the North American pronunciation? That's the bulk of it. And can you read in the language that it is written? Can you also understand, you know, where they are coming from? Because you see, this nation, you know, we got independence in the British. But you see, we're tilting towards American in every orientation. That's why we're not running the parliamentary system. We decided to go and take the presidential system in America. And either you like it or not, America is almost like a king nation. There is nothing you want to buy in any country. Internationally, they're going to give you quotation in USD. Even if they give you their local currency, they'll still convert it to USD. There are currencies that are stronger than the USD, but the USD is the king, is the language of trading. So when you have people who want to play in the big league, you want to play in the international like every other person, then you have to step up to that level. I did my first degree here, and in my first year, my results were not so good. The reason is very simple, especially in those areas where I need to write. Most of my professors were trained in British. I came out of a secondary school that was purely American. The way Americans spell color is different from the way British spell it.
Yes.
The Americans don't have a U. The way they spell behavior, you know, the Americans don't have a U. With the way you spell favor, the American favor doesn't have a U. And so on and so forth. I can go on with so many. So all over my papers, you know, when I write, you just find rent by rules all over. By the time, like, I tried to convert, again, I was on my way out of the country. I got over there again. I had a different orientation. Again, coming back to what it used to be. How does this then affect young people? I think it's about time, you know, those who are drawing the policy in education put their feet down, first of all. Which one are we following? Are we following British English or are we following American English? That is a major thing. Because you don't go for IELTS and then you need to write and things like that, and you are writing in the British English, you're going to shortchange yourself. Because it is not designed for that kind of English. On your computer, if they ask you language, check very well, they will ask you, is it British English you want or American or US English? On almost all computers, no softwares have it. So that's part of what we need to do. Are we following British or are we following American? That's one. The second thing is, our young people need to understand decorum. The way you write on official level is different from the way you write on a personal and informal level. And with the advent of the mobile phones, it seemed to have made things worse for a lot of young people. People are writing on their CVs and they are using what they call, you know, shorthand. Shorthand is saying that, you know, abbreviations that are generated by them. Not a universally accepted abbreviation. You want to write that someone has a doctor, for example, you can write a D, R, and then put a full stop to it. The whole world understands that to be a doctor. Okay, but you see, when you are talking about you, Y-O-U, you're talking to a person, and then you just put only you. And people write that in official document.
Wow.
Is it the fault now of the people who are requiring you to take English, or the fault of a system that refuses to educate people to be able to draw the margin between what is official and what is non-official? The formal and the non-formal. I've seen this thing on CVs. I have been in interviews where someone is trying to tell you, yes, I work in this place 2016. That is the correct pronunciation. They will say 2016. I left that place 2019. You fail automatically. On an international interview, you're done. You can't even pronounce dates properly. So how can we trust you? They are going to be able to relate. So when I look and I say, leave these people, they too do say, well, they're the owner of their dollars. They're the one who's going to pay you. So they have the right to set their own standard. And if you cannot fit in, take a hike. Go somewhere else. I had a class on Sunday night along this line. And this was something that I was emphasizing. People should understand the difference between an official writing, official document, and that which is completely unofficial or informal. You can have a CV that has informal writing and you are writing for an official job. It doesn't fly. I said it countless times, you know, on Sunday, and I said it with most of people that, you know, like a show for training. I tell them, most of the time today, 20 years ago, Jude, you apply for a job. You apply in writing. You send hard copies. You post it. Today, almost all applications are done electronically. And because the volume of human beings has increased in the world, gone was the time when I'm going to have, you know, an organization will give me, like, you know, 3,000 applications, you know, to sort, or 250, you know, to sort, and I have to do all that. Today, there's no room for that. You send your application in electronically. It goes to a machine, an ATS, an application. That is what marks your CV or your resume. And it's only going to profile the top 5 or the top 10.
Wow.
So when I hear people say, I'm applying for jobs, they're not taking me, I can tell you today for free, this international radio, there are organizations in this country that is what they use now. It doesn't matter how much you go and knock on their door. They give recruitment, okay, to international bodies or professional bodies. And today, recruiters don't have the time to start reading to 250 CVs. I don't have that luxury of time. Therefore, everything goes straight to the machine. So there is a way that you have to write your resume or your CV that can qualify you then for the machine to even mark you. You know how strong this is? Because we're talking about all these examiners. But every statement you write, if there's no full stop behind, the machine marks you down. If there's no full stop behind it, it marks you down. There's a format that a resume or a CV takes. Because, you know, in those days, you know, you do a CV and then you can have, you know, your grandmother's, the local government, her town, her maiden name, and all those kind of things. Today, you are looking for a job that, you know, you can probably stay in Nigeria and do, and quietly you are earning your dollars, you are earning your pound sterling or your euros and things like that with a lot of money. There are people coming, you've been here now, you are earning $5,000 or you are earning $3,000 as a fresh graduate. That's a lot of money in this economy. It is. Because how long will it take some people, you know, to earn, well, about 1.5 million naira salary in a month? I'm not too sure, you know, like DGs and directors, you know, like in government parastatals, you know, earn that much. But it is possible today if you know what you want to do and if you prepare over the years towards it. So what it takes today in terms of, you know, studying, in terms of getting a job, is much more than what we know. You cannot set your own rules in a place where you are not authorized to be the one who is going to mark the script. You can't set your own rules. That's the way some of these things go. So I'm talking to somebody in South Africa. I understand he's a South African person. And I'm talking to someone in Kenya. I can understand this from East Africa and things like that. The intonation does not mark them down. It doesn't mark them down in interview. No, it doesn't. People don't have to change their intonation, you know, because they want to fit into a particular setting. No, that is one thing that you are born with. Like I said, when an Indian is speaking, you know. Sometimes when a Yoruba man is speaking, you know. When an Hausa man is speaking, you know. When an Igbo man is speaking, you know. Some people are probably, you know, from those tribes, but when they are speaking, you will not know. You can probably know them. You cannot, okay, this person is Igbo because of his name, or is Igbo because, or is Yoruba because of his name, or is Hausa because of his name. And that's probably, you know, in their formative years, they were not rooted, okay, in the pronunciations of their first language as such. So it's easy for them to migrate and navigate the terrain of English language. That's probably, you know, what will be my response for now.
Okay, all right. So we're going to open the phone lines now. We have just about 9 minutes. We'll probably take one or two calls directed at you this morning. And also on social media, at Nigeria Info PH, Twitter and Facebook, please join in the conversation. I already have some messages here, questions directed at you, Dr. Alfred, and I'll be asking them shortly. But here are the phone numbers, please. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and 0817-923-0009. Please be advised, refrain from making derogatory or defamatory comments, and please do not make any unsubstantiated claim.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
All right, first question to you, Dr. Alfred. Emeka here is asking, a lot of people these days don't know how to use their tenses properly, sir. Whose fault is it? Is it the teachers, or is it the people who refuse to learn proper English?
Well, that's going to be difficult for me to decipher here. You know, I'm not within the set. I know the teachers have their own faults. Because until we professionalize teaching, because this in about the last maybe 2 decades or so, anybody who cannot get a job anywhere, you know, then they automatically become teachers. So you have the teachers' field has become all commerce. And why do you think that, you know, any course you want to read in any university is mandatory that you must have credit in English and mathematics? It's because you need a good knowledge of English to be able to access any other subject you are going to study in the university. So when teachers, you know, probably are so deficient or are not so professional, you know, in the use of English language or in understanding English language, then what are they going to pass on to the students? That's one thing. You find today that people are writing, you know, Y-O-U-R to mean Y-O-U apostrophic R-E.
You are. Oh, yes.
That's right. You know.
Oh, yes.
And they don't see anything wrong with it. You know? And then someone is writing AIN, A-I-N apostrophic T. And he's writing it as ants and putting the S at the back. And so I'm a Nigerian, full-blooded. I see these errors. But you see, I'm on a panel and everything. Getting a job is not about being a Nigerian. It's about being qualified to get the job. Being a Yoruba man, Igbo man, or Hausa, it doesn't count in that kind of field. It's professionalism. We don't do federal character when it comes to international jobs and things like that. No. Nobody bothers where you're coming from. The thing is, do you have what it takes to do the job? So you also have teachers
who are not proficient, you also have a generation that is unwilling to learn.
Unwilling
to some extent. And you also have a generation that is unfortunate not to have people that will teach them the right thing. So it's a multifaceted problem.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm willing to learn. I don't know if the young people are listening and they will agree with you. Do you think many Nigerians are unwilling to learn? Well, you can send us a message and we'll find out. This message here says, good morning, Nigerian. For the use of English language is dropping for the following reasons. Many are going back to their mother tongues. The lack of sound English language teachers. And three, convenience in regards to the issue on ground at the moment, etc. English language is not our language. Speaking it correctly might remain challenging. We can only try. All right. Thank you very much. No name to that message. Other nations are breaking grounds in technology, building sustainable cities, making science discoveries. Yet, a professor is worried that Nigerians don't speak English, good English. Tell me any nation that's advanced simply because they speak English. English is just like any language, a means of communication. We must not speak it like the owners of the language. We have our local languages that are dying. I have a friend that finished his master's in the UK without writing IELTS. He's back in Nigeria after graduation and he's doing well. Let's work on universities and we shouldn't worry about writing any exam or going to another man's country to study. Uche Okeke. Dr. Alfred, I'm going to give you a minute and a half to respond to this. Do you think there's a point here we should be focusing on speaking English properly, according to Uche?
Well, if someone has an idea that, he or she should ostracize himself, okay, from a global trend, that's fine. It's a personal decision. But like I said, the truth is that even way in the East, I'm talking of the East Coast, I'm talking of Asia and things like that, why are they emphasizing on non-learning English? So when I was back in the States, you have hundreds of missionaries who are going to China and some of these other places. Why? There's something called a test of English as a foreign language at that time.
Yes. TOEFL, yes.
There is a special course which is teaching English, as a foreign language. English is foreign to us. I agree with him 100%. It's not our first language. And I think that's one thing we need to settle. Because sometimes I hear administrators say, this child cannot speak Ikwere, therefore English is first language. It doesn't work that way. English is not his first language. Because either you like it or not, it's in an environment where he picks up things. We just need some level of critical discernment. First of all, that people should know where to draw the boundary between the English you speak on social media and the English that you speak in the classroom.
Mm.
People should learn the English that they write in shorthand. Their own abbreviations that they generated. That you don't transfer that into a formal setting where such is never, recognized. Decorum is one of the things, lack of decorum is only a reason why people don't do well in some of these exams, or they don't do well on their CV writing, or they don't do well at interviews. Inability, to understand boundaries, respect those boundaries, and know where you fit in, will always lead to colossal failure. It doesn't matter, how well we try to dress it or what garment we wear on it. Truth remains truth. That's probably, what I'm going to say in response to that.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Alfred. Our bus will stop here as we wrap up our conversations. Once again, it's been a pleasure having you weigh in on these matters.
Thank you very much, Jude, for having me.
Thank you very much. My guest, Dr. Alfred Oladapo. Now, I'd like to wrap up by reading some comments on social media. Facebook, @NigeriaInfoPH, @NigeriaInfoPH. Lucky Osai says, I don't think much effort is being made by young Nigerians in improving their level of their English language. I think this is because many young Nigerians now think embracing the English language is like embracing the white man's culture. Therefore, they would rather stick to their mother tongue. Kendra Eze says, I agree with Dr. Alfred, because when I was in primary school, I was taught British English, especially in writing, but now it is all mixed up. Kendra says, WhatsApp 009-030-6414. 0806-0809-030-6416. Good morning, Jude. The use of social media has also contributed in making many Nigerians to abuse the use of the English language. You see all manner of abbreviations on social media, and we are gradually accepting them as normal. GMB. Well, we're going to take this conversation further because all things being equal, sometime next week, we'll have a guest join us to explain why he doesn't believe English language should be a reasonable test for someone to leave this country. We'll get to that point sometime next week. But the reality is here that many people who are using the language are not using it properly. You may argue, well, it doesn't matter. If the economy is good, who cares? I leave that to you. But before I leave, it's a wonderful, wonderful birthday wish from us here to a friend of ours, talking about Emeka Otuka. His wife is celebrating today. Stella, have lots of cake, lots of bole and fish, and please bring some over to us. Have yourself a wonderful day. My name is Jude. Good morning.